Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you.
Thank you, Leonard.
Yes, sir.
It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning as we celebrate Jesus, the freedom we have in Jesus, and the freedom we have as Americans. And so we're so glad that you're here, every person that's here. We're glad that you're here, and we pray that you'll receive a blessing, that the Lord will, whatever your need is, whatever your concern is, that the Holy Spirit will touch your heart in a very special way. May we pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to this special place that's been set aside for worship and to seek your face. Father, it's good that we turn aside each week and just focus on you. Father, we thank you for the fellowship that we have with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We thank you for the way that you bind us together with them. But Father, we thank you more than that for the fellowship we have with you through the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you bind us together both now and for all of eternity because we get love Jesus and give our heart and life to him. Father, during this service, may you have your way and your speak to every heart. Lord, I just want to stop and thank you for the showers of rain that we had this past week, and we thank you, Father, for that which you're going to be sending in the coming week. Thank you that you know our need and you're going to provide for that which we need. Lord, we love you and we honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. If you would please, let's all stand and sing together. This is Patriotic Sunday, so let's sing America the Beautiful as we stand. The words will be on the board and music as well.
Shed his grace on thee.
Just one little thing, if you don't mind, you check the monitors. I don't believe, get a little more in the monitors. I can't hear. Okay, thank you.
There just wasn't any audio on that video.
Is that right? Okay, I'm sorry. I just can't hear the monitor. So we'll make it work. We'll make it work. Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. We'll do some announcements at this point in time. And just want to thank you all for coming. It is the 4th of July, and we're glad to see you all this morning. Okay, let's do the announcements this morning. As we look at it, let's first remember that this is Wednesday. Now, the Wednesday night services will be canceled. We will not be here for Wednesday night service. There will not be a deacon's meeting, and wings and Bible study, all that will be canceled for Wednesday night due to the 4th of July holiday, okay? After that. Okay, all right, Robert. Robert's going to have the building and grounds meeting. Okay. Sorry about that, Robert. I didn't see that, so we've got you covered. Okay. All right, today we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper at the end of the service today, so you all be prepared for that as we do that. And then tonight we'll have our 4th of July service and Honor of America service. The Singing Towers, the Towers Quartet will be here. See, I still do it. The Towers Quartet will be here and be singing tonight. And then after that, Jeff's going to cook up some hot dogs and we'll have a good time together in fellowship. So come tonight, be with us, and we'll have a good time as we honor America and honor the Lord in gospel music, okay? Okay, Vacation Bible School, Tonda. Anything you want to add to that, Mr.? Okay.
On the same page, and I'm just excited about it.
Okay.
Just come and join us, and we're going to have a great day of learning and teaching and being with our children.
Okay. Very good. All right. So if you haven't signed up, right, Tonda? We need to do that.
Yes.
On the board back here in the back.
Teaching positions
available. And do like I did this morning. Just sign your name, and if you don't have a specific job in mind, just put anywhere. So. Tonda will find something for you to do. I'm sure that, and Gary, they will both find something for you to do. I want to remind you on the birthdays and anniversaries that to please contact Brenda or Kathy and verify your birthdays and anniversaries so we'll be sure we have an up-to-date list, okay? Are there any announcements I may have overlooked anywhere? Well, Robert, I don't have an answer for that, except I know you'll be there, won't you?
I'd like to shoot cobbler.
I'll echo what Jeff said. I'm very, very happy for the Baptist men who turned out yesterday and helped out Brother Jim and Miss Janice. And that's what we're here for, to help each other and be blessings to each other. And I think that proved out to be the case. All right. I don't have any other announcements anywhere that I may have overlooked anywhere. All right. Then let's go to the prayer request. Our prayer request for this morning that I have. I have a few already. I have the Thomas Getty. I don't have an update on him, but I do know that he was able to move. He's the one that got paralyzed in the diving in the pool. So.
He's got a long road to go. There is still swelling. They said all the swelling won't be going for another 6 to 8 weeks, so the prognosis is going to have to wait until then.
Okay. All right, let's remember him. Don and I have a good friend, Debbie Duncan, who lives in Kannapolis, and she's been diagnosed with Parkinson's, and it is just a little more difficult for her now. It's getting worse, and we want to lift her up in prayer. Let's remember Betty Davis. I haven't seen Betty in a while. And Eva, you want to bring us up to date with Betty? I know you're in contact with her.
She's about the same, but she had some problems with a colon that she could get rid of.
Yeah.
The doctor, he put her on some insulin, and she's been coughing. So I talked to her a couple times last week, and she's about the same.
Okay, well, I know we all miss her, and we need to be praying for her.
I did speak with her yesterday, and she was feeling the best yesterday that she had.
Okay.
In the last several weeks.
That's good to know, Tonda.
Those prayers.
Okay. Very good. All right, now, Miss Rosina, I sent her a text, and I was able to talk to her. I was unable to talk to her, but Ruth, can you bring us up to date on Miss Rosina?
I talked to her yesterday, and she was a little bit better, but she still needs prayer. She's got a long way to go, but she's real weak.
Okay.
She's staying with her granddaughter right now. So.
Yeah. And you missing your sidekick this morning. How's Tony? Okay. Miss Angela, how'd your test go?
Oh, they were good. I know they going to send me to a specialist for my jaw. They have people with jaw or somewhere for just my jaw, for dog only, so they're going to send me to get for my jaw. So.
Okay. All right, let's remember Miss Angela. She's still fighting the battle, but the Lord's on her side, so she's going to be all right.
It's always something after.
Seems like it, doesn't it? Yes. Anyone else? Anywhere? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for this special day that we'll be coming up the 4th of July, Lord, as we turn our attentions to patriotic thoughts and songs and deeds. Lord, we thank you for America. We do believe it's still the best nation in the world to live, but Lord, we have our problems, and Lord, we seem to be a lot of people are turning from you, and Lord, we know that won't work. Through the history, we know it won't work. I pray for America today. I pray for America as a whole. Help us, Lord, to be better Americans. Help us to pray more and to do more. Then, Lord, as we turn our attention to the specific needs this morning, we want to remember Thomas Getty. We continue to pray for him, Lord, as he's convalescing after the horrible fall. We pray for Debbie Duncan, Lord. We lift her up for you. We ask for healing for her body. Ask for prayer for Betty Davis, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you would give her strength, give her courage, and give her peace. And then we pray for Rosina, who is battling COVID, Lord. We pray for her as she continues to battle. And where we know, Lord, that you can touch her body and heal her body to a normal degree of health. And Tony, as he had too much sun, Lord, we pray for him and pray for Miss Ruth as well, because she's still going through tests. And Lord, we pray for her that she'll get stronger every day. We pray for Miss Angela, Lord, as she continues with her test. And we ask, Lord, that you touch her body as well. Then I ask for a special prayer for Pastor Ed this morning. We pray for him as he comes and administers to us today. We pray for the service tonight. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would lift our voices up and anoint our voices, that we may sing your praises, and also as we honor America and honor you. And Lord, these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. As we continue to honor America this morning, we want to stand together and sing together God bless America. God bless America. Okay, as we stand.
God bless America. With foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide.
Thank you. You may be seated.
All right, kiddos. Yep. Children's church. I know some of you adults are tempted to go back there too because it'd be more fun. Thanks for staying in here. And I do hope that you'll come tonight, that you'll have invited others to come. I'd like to see the building full. I know that we're going to be blessed as the towers sing for us. And I want it to be more than just a let's go listen to somebody sing. Let's go worship the Lord together. Let's celebrate our freedoms together. Let it be a time of drawing near to each other and to the Lord. That's the real goal. Now, most of you have your favorite place to go out and eat. Pamela's was the Bonefish Grill. They had, I think it was something called pecan encrusted trout that she really loved. But because they weren't any near us, and because really it was a little pricey for what money I had in my pocket, we only went twice a year, her birthday and our anniversary. If we happened to go to Myrtle Beach, we might take a special night out and go to the Bonefish Grill there. Well, now several years ago, I think it was at Christmas, our son Stephen sent us some gift cards. And boy, it sure was fun to just walk in and order what we wanted, just hand them a gift card knowing that it was already been paid for. All I had to do was just hand them that gift card and it was done deal. Now, all of us, most of us anyway, well, we know about gift cards. You may have had some from McDonald's or Chick-fil-A or Walmart or other places. You may have given some from time to time. What's so good about it? If you receive one, somebody else has paid. It's already been paid. You don't have to worry about a thing except using it. Now, when you receive a gift card, you can ignore it. You can throw it away, or you can use it. Now, several years ago, I got to receiving gift cards from somebody. It's a great friend, but she didn't know that I despised that particular restaurant and never ate there. So I re-gifted those cards to somebody. I knew that I was re-gifting them. It wasn't like I did something under the table. This person that I gave them to knew that I was re-gifting them because I just frankly don't eat at that place. But, you know, you can use the card, you can throw it away, you can ignore it, whatever. It's up to us to what we do with it. Well, this week as I got to thinking, I don't know how the Lord put it all together, I got to thinking about 2,000 years ago, God gave you and me a gift card. He gave us a gift card through the cross in Jerusalem, through an empty tomb outside of Jerusalem. God gave you an I love you gift card. God gave you an I care about you gift card. God gave you a card that says, I want you to be in heaven with me for all eternity. And it was bought and it was paid for and given to you and given to me. We don't have to pay a thing. All we have to do is use it. Now, you can ignore it. You can trash it. Or you can use it. And I realize that probably every adult in this room has already used that gift card. But I know some people that haven't. some folks that are not ready for eternity. What can you get with that gift card? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Let's see what you can get with that gift card that the Lord gave you 2,000 years ago. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 12. And this is what's one of the things that are yours because of that gift card. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. In a few moments, we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper. We'll talk about the blood of Jesus shed for us. The writer of Hebrews says that by his own blood, he obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, I like that word eternal. That means there's no expiration date. That means that you're saved. If you're saved, you're saved forever. God's not going to stop, you know, in 1,000 years or 5,000 years or 1,000,000 years and said, okay, your salvation's over. No, for all of eternity, those who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, it is an eternal redemption. We're forgiven of our sin. We're made right with God because of that. Look at verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Cleaner conscience. Take away from us things that are sinful. Remove hurtful memories and enable us to serve the Lord completely. And it's through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus. And he was without spot. He purged, he cleansed. He totally purified your conscience from dead works. In other words, the people before that time, they were doing works in order to please God, but you don't do works to please God. You do works because you have seen Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Verse 22. And almost all things are the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. And at the same time, flip over to 10:17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that wonderful? God's forgiven your sins, and God's forgotten your sin. You know, there's one Bible that place that says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed your sin from you. Talk about, in God seeth for forgetfulness. Now, I know if you're like I am, the devil, from time to time, he'll say, Ed, you remember when you did that? You remember when you thought that? You remember when you said that? And he tries to get me and you mired up in grief and depression over our past sins. And God says, hey, I've already forgiven them. You came to me, you confessed them, you put them under the blood, and they're gone. They're gone forever. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. You know, you can go before God, and God doesn't say, well, I'd love to talk to you, but back in 1998, you did so-and-so, and that sin is between us. No, you go to God, and God says, come on in. Come on in. I love the picture of the resurrection. The Holy of Holies. And that thick veil torn top to bottom so that there was access into the presence of God from then on for everybody. Before, only the high priest could go in. He could go in once a year. Nobody else went in. They even tied a rope around his leg so that if he dropped dead in there, they could pull him out, because that would be the only way they could get him out, because nobody else went in. And he had to sprinkle everything with blood before he went in. But at the resurrection, it all tore apart, the crucifixion and resurrection. And we have access because our sin is forgiven. Then look at chapter 10, verse 10. By which we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And then 10:14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Do you feel holy? Probably not. But God sees you as holy. The Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God looks at us and he sees Jesus. If we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God looks at us and he sees Jesus Christ and his perfection, and we're behind that perfection. He says we are made we're sanctified. I remember when I was ordained as a pastor a long, long, long time ago, one of the guys on the committee said, what do you believe about sanctification? I thought, sanctify for what? I don't know that I'd ever heard the word. But now I know it means made holy and set apart for God. We're set apart for God. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. We are set apart and made holy for the Lord. You know, it's so wonderful what we have in Jesus. That gift card is so special. And then chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Do you realize what you have as a believer as compared to the people of the Old Testament? If they wanted to know the law of God, they had to, like look at the stone tablets and know the law of God. They had to memorize it in their minds. They had to look through Leviticus and Deuteronomy and the other books of Moses and to know things in their mind. But you and I, he says, it's in your heart. And I pray that you experience that. I pray that there are times when, you know, you start to do something, and not because you've read something somewhere, but down in your spirit, the Holy Spirit says, no, that's not a good idea. I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should say that. I don't think you should go there. It's in your heart. Another scripture talks about taking away our heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh. A heart that's real, a heart that is precious to the Lord. He says, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. It's interesting, at least with me, that there are times I won't think about a certain scripture that expresses right or wrong for maybe a good period of time. And then all of a sudden I'll start to do something or say something, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, whoa, boy. You need to stop. You need to think different. Why? Because God put it in here. When Jesus said, I'm going back to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to come and he's going to teach you all things. He's going to be your comforter. He's going to be your guide. He's going to come and enable you to be like me, like Jesus. And here he says, I'm going to put my laws in your heart. And then verse 22 of chapter 10. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You know, the Lord made it possible for you and me to draw near to the Lord. You ever have a falling out with somebody and you run into them at Walmart and it's just sort of an awkward thing? Or maybe you see them coming down this aisle, so you go around and go down that other aisle. You wouldn't do that, would you? It's awkward. And I dare say there are a lot of folks, saved and unsaved, that feel awkward around the Lord. They know what they've done. They know what they've said. They know where they've gone. They know the sin in their life. And they thought, you know, if I pray, my prayers won't reach the ceiling. God's not listening to me. And all the time the Bible says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful to just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And here he says, we can draw near with a true heart full of assurance of faith. He says, you know, one of the wonderful things about being a child of God, confessed up to date, is you can walk into the presence of Almighty God as if you had never sinned a single time in your whole life. And you're accepted. There's no awkwardness. There's no condemnation. Jesus proved that when he gave the story of the prodigal son. Remember the story of the prodigal son? This kid went off and he blew his inheritance. He ended up in the pig pen, which for a Jewish boy was as low as you can get. And he comes trotting up the road thinking, oh, I hope my daddy will let me get out there and plow the fields. At least I'll have enough to eat. Because they've been down there eating those butter bean hulls or whatever that they've been feeding the pigs. And that boy comes up and he's dirty. He smells like pigs, which if you've ever raised pigs, you know it's not real pleasant. If you've never done that, go to a hog farm somewhere and just take in the essence of the odor for a little while. That boy was dirty, he was smelly, he had been sinful. And daddy doesn't say, shoo, go take a bath and get cleaned up. And then we're going to sit down and talk about what's going on. No, it says the daddy runs and he puts his arms around him and he hugs him. He says, welcome home, son. Get this boy a clean robe. Get this boy some shoes. Get this boy a ring on his finger as a sign of acceptance into the family. That's what Paul is saying here in Hebrews. You can come into the presence of God as a blood-bought child of God, and God's going to wrap his arms around you and say, I love you, my child. I love you, my child. You may not have done very well this week or today or last month or whatever, but God is not going to reject you when you come to him, confessing your sin and saying, I want to be back a part of the family. It's such a beautiful picture. The availability of drawing near. Those of you that come on Wednesday nights know that we've been studying the book of Esther. Esther could come to the door, but until the king put out that golden scepter, she better not step inside the door or she wasn't going to live. But you know the story. She comes, he notices her, and he sticks out that scepter. Says, come on in, come on in. When Jesus died on the cross, God put out that golden scepter to you and me and says, come on in. I welcome you into my throne room. I welcome you into my presence. I welcome you. I welcome you. If you want to turn with me for a minute to Romans chapter 5. Paul says much the same thing. Chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. God's grace through Jesus abounds, runs over. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift of many offenses unto the justification. Adam sinned, mankind bit the dust. Jesus died on the cross as the sinless Son of God to give us a free gift to justify us. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. I don't think many Christians really understand. What does somebody do when they reign? They rule. They have a good life. He says, through Jesus, you reign in life. You rule over circumstances. You rule over sin. You're in charge. God blesses you. Well, I've talked about a gift card that Jesus made possible on the cross. Who gets it? Who gets it? Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, but is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Folks, it can't get any plainer than that. God says, I give you my gift card. My gift card of love that makes you the offer of forgiveness and salvation. And he says, I don't want anybody to perish. I want everybody to come to repentance. It's not God's will that anybody go to hell. It's not God's will that anybody go to hell. And you don't have to turn to John 3:16. You know what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say God sent his Son for the chosen few. It says for the whosoever, whosoever believes. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 Timothy it says God gave himself, Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all. All, not for a few, but for all. Now, I truly believe that the gift of salvation is available for everybody. It's available for everybody. Now, we know that there's a lot of folks that ignore it, and I'll get around to it someday. There's a lot of people that reject it. And those two groups are going to be sad when the day of eternity comes. And they don't go to heaven. But those who take that gift card that God offered to them through Jesus Christ and say, I'm going to use it for my salvation. I'm going to use it for my salvation and receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. They are the ones that will be blessed for all of eternity. God made so much available to us with that gift card of Jesus, paid for on the cross, and it's available. As we celebrate in a moment the Lord's Supper, it's God's way of saying, I love you. I love you not because you're perfect. I love you because you chose. First, I just love you because you're you. And then in a special way, I love those who are my children. And we invite everybody here that's a child of God to participate in the Lord's Supper. Whether you're a member of the church or not, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, feel free to participate. And be reminded, God so loved he gave that whosoever will may be saved. And if there's somebody listening on the website or maybe in the parking lot and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please don't put it off. Please receive Jesus, that gift of love that's just for you. If our deacons would come. They're going to all come back in. First, the Lord took the bread and he blessed it as he gave it to his disciples. I'll ask Grant if he would to bless the bread.
Dear Father, thank you for allowing us in your house today. You Lord, give us the place where we come and have organized worship here, Lord. And dear Father, we just hope and thank you for the reason why you're for your son and you have to give to us. Thank you for what it means that we may spend eternity with you. Thank you.
You know, you think about the children of Israel eating the manna 40 years, and it sustained them, strengthened them. They could walk, they could march, they could fight. And God never let them down. It was always there. And you can always depend upon Jesus to be there. You may not feel Him as strong at one time as you do at others, but Jesus is always present with you. Jesus Himself said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat." In the same way, the Lord took the cup and He blessed it. And I'll ask Lionel to feed, but bless the cup. Did you notice how many of those verses that I read from Hebrews talked about the blood of Jesus sanctified us, the blood of Jesus forgave us, the blood of Jesus made us right with God? Never, never belittle the blood of Jesus. By the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood, the Bible said, there's no forgiveness of sin. King James says remission, but it means forgiveness, doing away with. It's his blood shed on the cross that forgives us. It's his blood that protects us, takes care of us even today. How precious is the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, "This is my blood. Drink ye all of it." In remembrance of me, I think it says on the front of the table. We remember what Jesus did for us. But also remember what Jesus is doing for you right now. This week. And remember what Jesus is going to do for you all of eternity. And just say, "Thank you, Jesus, for loving me so much." If you'll stand, Leonard's going to lead us in singing, "Bless Be the Tie That Binds."
Bless be.